Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel of Holland.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
Listen to the words of this blessed song. Sinners, Jesus will receive. Sound this word of grace to all who the heavenly pathway leave, all who linger, all who fall. Sing it o'er and o'er again. Christ receiveth sinful men. Make the message clear and plain. Christ receiveth sinful men. Christ is the one that receives, and the sinners are the one that must be received by Him. Today from Colossians chapter 2, the first 12 verses. For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgment of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the Spirit, joying and beholding your order, and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. The last words again are part of the gospel. Paul said, "The gospel which I preached unto you, Christ died for your sins according to the Scriptures, was buried and was raised again according to the Scriptures." We have his death referred to earlier in that first chapter, and over, Paul reminds them of both the death of Christ, the blood of Christ, and as we saw last week, and as we read again from the sixth verse today of the second chapter, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." Many things are necessary if we are to be right with God through Christ. Another one is the 27th verse of the first chapter, "To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Let's pray that the Spirit will lead us into all truth and will make these mysteries plain to us. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ. We come giving thanks in his name. We give thanks for the plainness of the gospel. We also give thanks that there is much that we can study. And as Paul could say to Timothy, "Study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And we pray that we might be able to do that, and that we may not do as Peter described, wresting the Scriptures to their own destruction. And Father, we know there is much of that. And even Paul here, fearful of both the church here at Colossae, and as he also mentioned, the church at Laodicea, that he had great conflict, trouble in heart for them. And we may certainly believe that he prayed for them. And Father, we also may believe that through Christ, those prayers were answered. And we need the same today, as Paul is spoken of, written of, writing sometimes himself, of his prayers to the churches and of the churches, and the weight that they bear on him, and also the weight of his kinsmen according to the flesh, his own blood, the seed of Abraham, the tribe of Benjamin. He tells us that he has weariness, heaviness of heart for them, and prayer that they might be saved. And we can pray with him for that, as he prayed then. We do pray now, Father, that all those children of Abraham that were promised Christ and have not yet believed on him may do so, that they may know that this mystery, and which is to many of them a mystery, has been fulfilled in Christ's coming, in being born, in taking on him the form of a man, even at the same time thinking it not robbery to be equal with thee, one with thee as God, one with thee as Creator, one with thee as Lawgiver, and then becoming the Redeemer. And we pray, Father, in his name, that thou will now teach us in the church, that the church might again be a right witness in every nation, in our nation, and others as well. We pray, Father, that also the Spirit might call more laborers to go into all the fields which are wide of the harvest, and where the labors are few, that soon all the ends of the earth may hear and fear and turn unto thee. And especially we pray, Lord Jesus, that the time may soon come, as thou didst speak through the prophet Zechariah, that I will pour out the spirit of grace and supplication, and they shall mourn after me whom they have pierced. And as thou didst say that, Lord Jesus, through that prophet, we pray that it might be done in our generation, if it could be thy will. And yet we pray with thee, Lord Jesus, not our will, but thine be done. Help us to know that thy ways are higher than our ways, and thy thoughts than ours, and help us to submit to it, but also to be thankful for it, that thou art in control of all things. Though thou dost allow us to do much, and even sometimes, as written of Hezekiah, that thou didst leave him to try and all that was in his heart, and only it was only pride and foolishness, we fear, Father, that the terribleness of being left and the awfulness of being given over to a reprobate mind, as we fear our nation is today and other nations as well, Father, given over to the philosophy of men, to the deceitfulness of men, to the rationality of men, that is a lie. And we pray and plead it might be recognized, it might be repented of, and that the church might have the message, as did the Old Testament prophets and John the Baptist, and then thyself, Lord Jesus, that the message of repentance to thee, Father, and faith toward Christ might be preached to all nations and even to every creature. We pray, Father, that the other blessings may also be given to those in suffering, those in sickness and injury, that they might have healing, and for those who are not given that, that they might have the grace to bear under it, and those that will soon meet the end to be prepared through thee, Lord Jesus. We pray for those in hunger, the homeless, the war-torn lands. We pray for the schools and the homes, all to be taught of thee. Pray especially for the children in the broken homes, that they might be kept by thee. All these things we give thanks for what we have and pray for what we need. In thy name, Lord Jesus, amen. Continuing here in this message of Paul to the Colossians, and God through Paul to them and to us. Though some of the details may not be the same, yet hopefully there are those who have conflict for others in the church, that we pray for one another, as we are exhorted to do throughout the Scriptures, and to exhort one another, as Paul states to the Hebrews. And here he states the reason for his conflict and the hope that he has in that being remedied, the second verse, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. Not easy to grasp all that's meant there. The first part of it is probably the simplest, that they might be comforted, but there is not a right comfort unless they are knit together in love. And that was the prayer of Christ, that the church might be one, first for the apostles and then for the church that would believe on him through the word of the apostles, as we have it recorded in John 17. And the reason given that the world will know that thou, Father, hast sent Christ. We pray that that prayer might be answered in our time, that we who are so divided in home, church, nation, and the world might be brought together in Christ, knit together in love, the full assurance of understanding. Understanding. We read in the Psalms, there is none that understandeth. Paul wrote the same thing to the New Testament church in Rome, when he asked the question, are we better than they? Speaking of Jew and Gentile, others, then he comes back with the answer. No, in no wise. We have before proved that both Jews and Gentiles, they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. and then especially the 11th verse of that third chapter of Romans, there is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. Along the way in his ministry, the Lord Jesus had to ask the apostles at different times, are you yet without understanding? God has to take us from the place where there is none that understandeth. What does that really mean? None that understandeth. We are prone to think we know it all. We're prone to think if we are in the church that our church is right, we understand, we know, we have the truth. Without understanding what God really says to us. By the Old Testament prophet, God speaking, he says, my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts, even as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways than yours. As high as the heavens are above the earth. Such a distance that we can't fathom. To put it in plain English, how ignorant we are. And we could even use more plain words. Yes, the apostles were yet without understanding. And they actually were that through the 3 years of being taught by Christ, the perfect teacher. It wasn't until the evening of the resurrection, after they fully did not understand the crucifixion, they didn't understand the burial, they didn't believe the resurrection, and after it had happened, they had to be reproved for the hardness of their heart. And then we have that wonderful blessing that Christ gave to them, as recorded in the Gospel of Luke, that he opened their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. We have both the word mystery and understanding in the second verse. We also have the word mystery in the earlier chapter, the first chapter, the 26th verse. And then again the word used in the 27th verse. In chapter 1, verse 26, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and generations, but now is manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in heaven ascended. God telling him, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. We read in the Gospels and we read in the book of Hebrews that after he accomplished his death, payment for sin on earth, he ascended and sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. He's there now. Right now. But also, he had said before he left, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. We read in that sixth verse, and we read of it, and we spoke of it somewhat last week. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, received that person, actually received God, the God-man. And as, going back to that 27th verse, the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Part of it we can probably understand from his teaching that he gave to the apostles just before his death. The evening before his death, as he gave them the Lord's Supper, he went with them to the Garden of Gethsemane till Judas came. But he gives much teaching that is recorded in John chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, and then that prayer that I already referred to in John chapter 17. In the 15th chapter of the Gospel of John, we read, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word that I have spoken unto you. So he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Like the branches into the vine. We think of it especially with something like grapevines, other fruit and other things as well. We think of it as a tree, the branches in the tree. That's how we are in Christ. He said, I am the vine, you are the branches. And then he says, verse 4, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. That's basically abiding in Christ by faith. Believing who he is, believing what he did, believing what he can do, all trust in him. And as Paul says, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That was Paul's life. Continually, his mind on Christ, trust in him, live by the faith of Christ as well as the faith in Christ. And that one is very important, faith of Christ. That's the perfect faith. He may give it to us in greater or lesser measure. Some people have weak faith, doubting faith. Some have stronger faith. We are to bear with those that are weak in the faith. But if they have the faith of Christ, then it is a right faith given. As Paul says to the Galatians, the faith which is afterwards revealed. First we're shut up in guilt. Then God pardons us through faith in Christ. Then it's revealed. And that's where the faith of Christ begins, revealed to us, given to us. And here he says, in this 15th chapter of John, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. Like Peter, when he says to Christ, when he came to meet him on the sea, if it's you, bid me come. When Peter had his eye on Christ, he could walk on the sea. When he looked at the storm, he sank. And we'll do the same. If we fully keep our eye of faith on Christ, we won't sink. We will bring forth much fruit, as Christ said. Abide in me, and I in you. He said, if you do this, you can bring much fruit. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Zero without Christ. No sins forgiven, guilt, no sanctification, no good works, nothing. Without him, nothing. So much for our thinking in our proud free will. I gave my life to Christ. In the first place, we never would do it without him giving us the new birth, making us willing. After he gave that wonderful verse, John 3:16, he said, men loved darkness rather than light. That's you. That's me. That's where I was for 28 years. I learned it the hard way. Because it was true. I didn't believe it for a long time. Thought, I did this. I did that. I did that. That proves it. What I did. All it did is add to my guilt and sin. Like Isaiah said, all our righteousness are as filthy rags, one rag after another. And I thought that proved that I had something to show to God. Only filthy rags. Only that. Without me you can do nothing. And we could safely say also, without him we can have nothing. No man cometh to the Father, Christ said, but by me. So it is all in Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the mystery. And it is a mystery to many people because they will not humble themselves. In pride, we cannot think rightly. We just can't think truth. We think wrongly. We think less of God than we should. We think more of ourselves than we should. As God says through the pen of the psalmist, thou thoughtest I was altogether such a one as thyself, but I will reprove thee. And he will. And he can reprove us now in time, that we will repent and humble ourselves before God, like the publican, and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Or we can be continue in pride, like the Pharisee that Christ described at the same time. I thank thee that I am not as other men are. We are like others. We just read that from Paul's words in Romans chapter 3. Are we better than they? In no wise. None that understandeth. It's bad enough that we disobey. It's bad enough that we don't believe the truth when we see it or hear it. But we don't understand. Why? Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, stated, the second chapter, the 14th verse, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Foolishness. The things of the Spirit of God. Part of that is the Word of God. I've heard people say already, oh, the Bible contradicts itself. There is in it the fact that God is the potter and we are the clay. We conveniently sometimes say, oh, there's other scriptures. We don't bow to them. We don't submit to the scripture. We think it's foolish. We know better. But the Word of God is both plain and right. Let me read it again. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Paul wrote to the church at Rome, and all this is to the church, to you and me if you're in the church, and the world needs to hear it as well from the church. Paul, writing to the church at Rome, said the natural man doesn't keep the law of God. The natural man is enmity against God. I quoted part of what Christ said after John 3:16, men love darkness rather than light, but he gives even stronger words following that. He says, everyone that does evil hates the light. Christ is the light of the world. Light that came into the world. And as John writes in its first chapter, the world comprehended it not. But Christ gives even plainer words in that third chapter. Everyone that does evil hates the light. Would you dare to say you never did evil? Would you dare to say that you always loved the light? Some people like to say that. Some think that they are in that state. But they are the natural man that needs to be born again to see the kingdom of God, to see that it's far different than what we think. It's a mystery to the unconverted sinner. A mystery. Yes, over and over we read that. But it can all be made plain. We come like little children and say, Lord, teach me. I'm guilty. My mouth needs to be stopped. I'm ready to listen and learn and believe. Are you?
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise the Lord.